Alleluia, Christ is risen. If we were asked, what would we say in the response to the question, why is Easter important? Surely we would all come up with a lot of reasons why Easter is important. And I imagine that we would have some overlap on our lists, and I imagine some of us would have wonderful diversity in what we had to say. That's the thing that I jumped out at me today as I discerned what to say responding to this gospel is this. The resurrection affirms that the friendship, the love we have for one another is eternal. When friends love one another, there is a divine quality to that relationship. Easter proclaims friendship is never lost. It may even dwell in the very heart of God. We all know that friendship is important. I even learned that sociologists have studied, and the best way to know something about each of us, our opinions, is to look at the people we hang out with. They say that about eating habits as well. 12 steps people have discovered this a long time ago, and they say, if you want recovery, find and hang out with people who have recovery. And the Book of Wisdom teaches us, if we want to be wise, hang out with the wise. Our friendships are core to who we are. We are shaped into who we are in the company of our friends by each other. We belong to, in fact, in a way, we are a part of each other. And I think we see this very clearly in Jesus and his disciples. First of all, they all grew up in the same spiritual tradition. They grew up learning from Moses and from the prophets. And they grew up with this vision of a nation that would live in harmony with God and in harmony with one another. A nation that cared for the poor. In fact, put care for the poor above the proper accomplishment of ritual, above the need to glorify the king. And Jesus, I think he attracted his disciples to him because he said, this kingdom that Moses and the prophets has taught us to want, it is here. It is among us. And they came together with him because they saw him. His works, his action, his life, his love proclaimed to them great promise and hope. They eagerly took him as their teacher. They made a band of soul friends. In today's gospel, Jesus realizes that it's almost time for him to leave his disciples. And he knows that they will struggle with his leaving. He trusts God to protect him even in the hardships that are to follow, but even though it is the night before he will die, his concern is to comfort his friends. He's afraid they don't have the same confidence and understanding. In fact, I think that this discussion among friends is so important, or rather I should say the reason I think it's so important, is John takes 1/4 of his gospel to cover this evening. 21 books, and 5 of them are this one night, this one time Jesus is gathered with his friends. It's called, if you want to sound all theological, you'll get extra points if you get the farewell discourse. Jesus spends time that night comforting, encouraging, a little rebuking, a lot of prayer for his disciples. And our text is right in the beginning of that evening that we remember every week here, the night before he died. And he begins saying to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe." I prefer to say trust. I think it's as much about the heart as it is about the mind. Trust in God. Trust also in me. He's about to suffer, and yet his concern is for his friends. I also, and this is maybe a stretch, I might not say this to a New Testament teacher, but I also think that we see in here evidence that he knows who his disciples are. I even think there's a little sparkle in his eye. He says, "You know where I am going, and you know the way." And I can just imagine all of those disciples nodding their head, "Yes, we know, we do know, don't we know, we know, don't we?" Jesus is just smiling because they don't have a clue. I know that you have never done that. But the thing was, Jesus knew his disciples well enough to know that there were two in that group who were not going to be satisfied with that. Thomas and Philip were both there. And Thomas is the one, our own namesake. Thomas pipes up and says, "I don't know the way. I don't know where you're going." And it gives Jesus this wonderful opportunity to say, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." A wonderful statement which is used so often. But no sooner does Jesus bring up the Father than the other blurted out, Philip, says, "Show us the Father and we'll be satisfied." To which Jesus says, "Have you not known me? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. The works I do are the works of the Father." Now, I think this passage gets misused a good bit. I think there are a lot of people who read this passage from a very egotistical state. Oh, I better be I've almost edged into judgment there. They read it from what I consider to be an immature place. They still put more importance on themselves. But Jesus, who shows self-emptying love, is not saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He's saying, "I am the way, the truth, the life." Jesus identifies himself with anything that leads people to the love and the compassion of God. And I personally believe that can come from any place. That is who Jesus is. That was the definition of his life. That is the definition of who he wants to be. That is the definition of who he is. He is there in order to help others discover the same friendship with God he has found. Another thing to remember, too, is that this passage is not actually being written to the disciples. It just looks that way. John, the evangelist John, is writing this passage to us. We are the ones who are meant to read it. And all through these five chapters, he goes on to talk about our relationship, the deep intimacy we can have with God, abiding in God, being one with Jesus, who is one with God, being connected to the vine, dwelling in God, dwelling with Jesus in eternity. St. John is inviting us to discover the same kind of faith and ministry that we learn the apostles found. We sometimes seem to think that because our tradition declares Jesus to be God, that it's okay for God to do this stuff. It's okay for Jesus to do this stuff. He's God incarnate. But we're just human beings. But I think that misses the point. All we see in Jesus is his humanity, and what he teaches us about humanity is that it is capable of great friendship with God. Humanity can shine with the glory of God. Humanity can love deeply and fully. This is one of my favorite teachers, James Finley, says that when we awaken to this great friendship with God, we discover that we have always been living in the heart of God. Precious, beloved, adored, in the tender heart of God from before time and until and beyond time's end, we are loved by God. Another writer I ran into this week really delighted me. He said that when we begin to let the Word of God become the center, the anchor, the whole universe appears enchanted. Ordinary life sparkles with the sacramental presence of the divine love. With eternal life, friendship, union with God, union with Jesus and all that is. And I think this is the comfort that Jesus has and that he desires to give to his disciples. His life is going to have hardship, great hardship. He knows that. But he wants them to also know you can go through hardship, but you will also do great things because you are never outside the love of God. You are always within the Father. And Jesus wants us to know that we are always within the Father. We will do great things because we dwell in God. As your new associate rector for pastoral care, my hope is to provide support so that we all may receive everything that Jesus promises to give us. I'm here to walk together with this community, this band of friends, as these mysterious words that John provides us sink from our head into our heart and find expression in our hands and actions, in our ministry and in our life. You may have been walking around the campus and you may have noticed these little tiny "You at God's." Has anybody seen them? They're very inconspicuous. I put them up as a reminder that this is part of my mission here. My mission is to help us live from the place of our connection with God, so that we can be what the world longs for, people confident of the love of God and able to share it with the world. Today, we can, together, we can be a community that nurtures people through simple ways, through steady, healthy spiritual habits and practices, by encouraging acts of compassion and justice, by helping one another live days of beauty through generosity. We can be a community that washes one another's feet, that fills the hungry with good things, that shows up for each other in grief and joy and celebration. We are called to be a band of soul friends who dwell together in the very heart of God. Alleluia, Christ is risen.